Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Well, top of the morning to you, and welcome to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, or as I like to call it, a little kick in the arse. Now, as you know, I always start with just a few little fun facts. That's right, a few fun facts. Do you realise that the most cocktail wieners eaten in one single minute is 54? Now, I don't know why you do that. Although I did have a wing eating competition one time where I did eat 100 wings, those little tiny ones, and then we had to quit. We got to 100 each. It was disgusting. But an average North American will eat 11.9 pounds of cereal in one single year and drink 600 sodas. Now, I'm not a soda drinker, so the only time I put soda in anything is when I put a little bit of tonic water in my gin. That's how I like my soda. Fortune cookies were actually invented in America. I don't know if you knew that or not. And almonds are a member of the peach family. Do you know this, though? Peanuts. Peanuts. My son's allergic to peanuts. I don't think he'll like me even talking about it. But peanuts are one of the ingredients in dynamite. I wonder who came up with that. Can you imagine? You're building dynamite and the guy says, we should grab some peanuts. Throw a peanut in there. Oh, yes. Coca-Cola was originally green. And I got to tell you, when I drink Coca-Cola, which is very, very seldom, I mean, I'll take a sip. It makes me want to feel, I feel green. I feel like throwing up. It just tastes like raw sugar to me. And the world's oldest piece of gum, apparently, is 900 years old. Who keeps records like that? Can you imagine? Somebody 900 years ago was chewing a piece of gum and said, here, I'm going to put it down, measure how long it lasts. I don't even know how they come up with that stuff. Square watermelons in Japan, by the way, because they stack better. So how do you grow a square watermelon? I have no idea. They must put them in a box. And pilgrims at the first Thanksgiving dinner ate popcorn. And I was at the movies the other night and I ate popcorn as well. And it's delicious. Last one, cranberries are sorted for ripeness by bouncing them. When fully ripe, they can dribble like a basketball. Now, they're pretty small, though. I don't know if you can play a game of basketball with it or not. But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm actually in Phoenix. I just came off stage in front of over 2,000 people. And a little bit late getting the show out today, but obviously I've been busy today. And I've just found a moment where I can come upstairs and get to chat with you. And I want to talk I don't like using the word buddies until we've really met, but somebody who's been talking to me on Facebook and is one of the loyal listeners to the show, and an emerging friendship is happening between us. So, but anyway, he sent me an email the other day via Facebook and asked my thoughts around a particular subject. I'm going to read it to you. I won't say his name. And I think I have an answer that could really help. But he says, David, I've been listening to your podcast since very early in its life. I'm so thankful for it. I've really found my calling in life through a lot of things learned. I really believe in day making and I've really been enjoying it. However, I have a lack of deep relationships in my life, whether it be in romance or friendship. I have a lot of friends, but lack the deep connections. I have reached out on many occasions to many people. I just wanted to know if you could give any advice on how to move to the deeper connections in life. Well, you know, it's a great question, Eddie, and I want to say is that, you know, I'm probably not the expert, but I do have, I have a lot of very, very close friends. And I think that there are some tips, some thoughts. Now, I've not written anything down. I've not planned to answer this in a specific way. I just want to, I was going to, and I thought, you know what, it's probably better that I just answer this from my heart. And, you know, I really think that deep relationships externally start with a deep relationship of self. And that the more honest we are with ourselves, the more vulnerable we are with ourselves, the more truthful we are with ourselves about who we are, what we are, you know, how we show up in the world, the more... I mean, in fact, I just finished this presentation on stage. I was talking about money. And when I came off stage, there was a number of people who shared with me, what I loved was your vulnerability. And this is always the case when I'm on stage. People love when I'm completely honest. I'm not trying to know the right answer or say the right thing. I'm just telling the freaking truth as it shows up in my life. And I believe that that's one of the catalysts of deeper connections. I think people connect more to the crappy parts than they do to the sort of the perfect parts. And I think so many of us are so afraid of the crappy parts that we don't really ever show them or talk about them. So we end up sort of only a part of us really ever shows up. And so if I look at it from a personal perspective, in the old days when I was afraid of who I was and I was more afraid of telling the truth and I was terrified of really showing up authentically because I didn't really know what authentic meant. All I knew was that I thought in order to be, you know, liked by people, that I had to act and be a certain way. What I found for my own personal thing is that when I'm 100% myself, 100% authentic and honest, when I don't try and hide things and when I show up and fess up, when I, you know, all these things allow me to connect on a much, much deeper level with the people around me, my friends. And when there's nothing hidden, I always say, you know, think of a closet. You know, a lot of people have things hidden in their closet, or they're hidden, maybe they're hiding in the closet. But, you know, when you're hiding things, it's so incredibly hard to connect deeply with other people because, you know, that part of your heart that is hidden, and it has to be hidden because you're afraid of the outcome. And what I, again, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter if you've been to jail. It doesn't matter what you've done, any mistake you've made. I'm not saying everyone's going to like you, but I do believe that people like people who show up. People like people who are authentic. And what you're going to end up doing is attracting more people who are comfortable in that vulnerable than the people who are also wearing masks and not really wanting to show up. And, you know, it happened last night. You know, we had actually a GM of Australia come up to our room, and my girlfriend said, "Oh, I should go get changed." I said, "Why? She's family. It's just so great that she walks up here." So she was in a house coat, and that's really how she felt. And when she showed up, she'd just come from a cocktail party. She's in a dress. She looks beautiful. And because, again, there's that family sense, that deeper sense of connection, nothing matters. Nothing matters. There isn't a right way to show up. There isn't a right way to dress when you're around your friends. There's just being you. And I think it's a breath of fresh air. So I think, first off, the deeper connection to the truth within ourselves, and then the willingness to go first, the willingness to show up and be interested in other people. I mean, you've got to, in the beginning, just be interested in people and really don't be expecting something back. I've really, you know, long, long, long since given up on this ideal or this idea that if I act a certain way, then people should act a certain way back. That's going to stand between you because now you're waiting. It's like if I invite you for dinner, then it's your turn. BS. You can invite me to dinner 10 times and I'm still going to come. And if I don't invite you ever and we still want to be friends and you're really good at cooking, and I mean, I've got a friend like that, really good friends of ours, Wolf and Julie. I've talked about him before, the guy with the great laugh. And they're immaculate. Now, they do come to our house for dinner. They came recently. But we go to their house. You know, they do such a beautiful job. Everything's meticulous. And we're not like that at all. Completely different. But again, because we're in love with our friendship of each other, how we show up and who cooks what and how beautiful it is has got nothing to do with our deeper friendship. So I think that going first, being very, very interested. And here's the other big thing for me is I'm not very good at staying in touch. So I just believe that when I see someone, I'm going to treat them and act as if it was a minute ago that I last saw them. And when I do that, you know, whether it's a year or 5 years, I just hug them, I kiss them, I'm just right in their face, I'm right back where we were. And what people I find is people get there very fast. But what happens with a lot of people, they haven't seen each other, so they're a little awkward. So both people are being awkward. So now, you know, there's a lot of expectation and there's a lot of the gap between you broadens. With all of this doubt and negativity. So I think, again, going first, falling in love with ourselves, being completely truthful and authentic, and choosing people. You could choose people and say, hey, I'd really like to hang out. People don't mind that, you know. And again, you know, I think that there's something about, you know, I have a lot of varieties of friends. If I was, I can still be myself. But there are certain friends, you know, that are, you know, really into certain conversations and certain things that are part of my personality, and I can go there. Other friends, they're not so interested in that part of my conversation, so they evoke a different part of my personality. I'm still being completely authentic in that, but I mean, my son's a great example. My son's really into video games. If he starts talking to every girl about video games, he'll find one or two that love it, or maybe more, but not everyone will. So we have to develop that ability to be authentic in the part of our personality and a part of our interest that are the same with those people, especially in the beginning as you're forging the relationship and then breaking bread together. I think eating together a lot and, you know, having parties and just hanging out is a great way to build relationships. So anyway, hope that helps. We're at the end of the show. I've almost run a whole minute over now. And Eddie, thanks for your question. And I want you to go out there. I'll see you all on the other side. And as I'm here in Phoenix, having a very, very kick-ass weekend here with 2,000 plus other people. And again, like I said, I'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.